Thank you, Father. Praise God. Good to see you today celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Wow, y'all are quiet. Hallelujah. We're living in a day not unlike other times in history where there's a move to try to take away the power of the cross, try to diminish the blood of Jesus, and try to say that it isn't true. This has been going on for centuries. Ever since Jesus came, there's been a attempt to try to diminish, but it's the fear of losing the ability to manipulate and control, both from the secular and the religious. In the church, shame and fear has been the greatest weapons of the church to try to keep people in the church and try to keep people from leaving or make them stay saved. But you know that don't last very long. Fear and shame, after a while you become callous to it. But there's one thing that will grip your heart, and that's to understand the amazing love that God gave for you, gave to you, and the deliverance that has taken place in your life, how that he freely gave, not because he had to, but because he was willing to do so. And so today we celebrate the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. We celebrate the fact that he rose from the dead. But before he rose from the dead, turn with me to the book of John, chapter 19. We've already been all over this. Amen. Hallelujah. John chapter 19 and verse 30. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." That the word in the Greek for "it is finished," the way you say "it is finished" in Greek is tetelestai. Jesus cried out. Mostly they spoke Aramaic, but the Bible was translated into Greek, and the Greek word is tetelestai. And if you say tetelestai in Greek to somebody, it means something. And it means something in several different categories. It's not something that's just used in the Bible. Jesus was not just making up a new phrase. He was declaring something that was very well known and very established. Everybody understood when he said, "It is finished," everybody understood what he was saying because they used that term in several different categories in several different areas. In the courts, they used the word tetelestai in courts whenever they declared that a sentence was fully served. If a sentence was fully served, if somebody had served a sentence and they're being led out of jail, the judge would declare, tetelestai, it is finished. It's over with. The sentence has been served. No more jail time. No more jail time. No more serving time for your crime. Amen. In the financial world, in the business world, if they declared tetelestai, they were saying the debt has been paid in full. You owe nothing. You no longer owe anything. The debt has been finished. Praise God. If you understood the debt in the day of Jesus, you were sold into slavery. if you couldn't pay your debts. And so you had to serve as a slave, a servant to a person, and even your children were sold into slavery until the debt was satisfied. But if somebody came to you and said, Tetelestai, that meant you have been freed. Your debt is paid in full. You no longer owe anything. The ledger is zero. Hallelujah. In the military, it meant this. The battle has been fully won. The battle has been fully won. There's no more fighting. The enemy has surrendered. The enemy is conquered. The battle has been fully won. So when Jesus on the cross suddenly cried out, "It is finished," everyone in his day knew exactly what he was saying. He was saying the debt is paid, the sentence is removed, and the battle is over. The enemy has been destroyed. Can you imagine the Roman soldiers standing around and all of a sudden they hear that term? They knew exactly what Jesus was saying. One soldier standing there said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." But Jesus was declaring that something had been accomplished. Something had been done. And many that stood by, even the disciples, didn't quite understand what that meant, because they went back and was mourning and crying. They were weeping because Jesus was gone. They laid his body in a tomb. They saw him die. And he cried, "It is finished." So they knew it was over. It's done. Until one morning when Mary Magdalene, whom Jesus had cast 7 devils out of. Hallelujah. Amen. Talking about a battle that's finished. A sentence that has been fully served. A debt that has been paid. All of a sudden, when she met Jesus, the bondage that which destroyed her life and controlled her every day suddenly left her life, and she was free and was able to receive life. She no longer had to serve that which lorded over her life. She was free. And when Jesus was buried the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb, and the stone was rolled away, and the announcement was made to her. Why are you seeking the living among the dead? He's not here. He is risen. I want you to stop and think about something. A lady that had nothing, that was bound by demons, that was cast down in society, was the first one Jesus went to and declared the fact that he was risen. And she got to preach the very first message of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He said, "Go back and tell my disciples." Hallelujah. She went from being bound by 7 devils to being the first one to declare the resurrection from the dead. Now when she went back and told them, the disciples were too busy feeling sorry for themselves and moaning and groaning to believe her. So they didn't believe her. One gospel said that Peter and John jumped up and took off running and competed to see who would get there first. Peter was out of shape, so John outran him. But John stopped at the door and Peter said, oh, I got you. And he ran on into the tomb. I won. And they couldn't find him. But Jesus appeared to him and he said, look, here's my hands. See, you can see where they put the nails. You can see. Here's my side where you saw them pierce me. Here's my side. Put your hand in it. Amen. And then he said, it's me. Feel me. And they gave him something to eat. He ate it. Strangest thing you can imagine. All of a sudden, the body that Jesus wore that was human and yet spiritual. Amen. He had the DNA of a human being as well as the DNA of Almighty God. He felt just like we felt. He got frustrated just like we get frustrated. He had a human mind. A lot of times we over-spiritualize a lot of this stuff to the point that we can't really connect with Jesus, and yet it says he was tempted in all points just as we are, yet without sin, which means he was tempted in everything you've ever been tempted in. Amen. He got frustrated. There was times that he would look at the disciples and say, how much longer am I going to have to be here? He would try to tell them something and they would completely distort what he was saying. Oh, boy, do we have that problem today. They would distort it completely out of context. You remember when Jesus, after he fed the 4,000, they got in the boat. And I mean, Jesus had just multiplied bread to feed 4,000. And they get in the boat and Jesus made a statement, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And the disciples got all upset because they thought Jesus was upset because they didn't bring enough bread in the boat. Sounds like us. God can do amazing things in our life. Next thing you know, we're having a pity party because something didn't go right. Amen. Or maybe that's just me. Y'all might not have things like that. But they would twist it. Jesus got tired. When they were out on the water in the storm, it says Jesus was asleep in the front of the boat. He was weary. He was tired. His body got tired. His mind got tired. But yet he was supernatural at the same time because he walked on the water. He raised the dead. He healed the sick. He was fully God and yet he was fully man. How do we reconcile that? We can't because it's beyond our understanding. And yet that body that was beaten, that was bruised, that was tore, that was hanging on the cross, bleeding, completely bleeding out. When Jesus cried, it is finished, and was laid in the tomb, is the exact same body that rose from the dead, only it was transformed. It was broken beyond the natural, beyond the carnal. He was no longer bound by the laws of this world. Now his body was set free from the penalties of sin, from the bondages of this world, and he was able to walk in that glorified body. He appeared in rooms where the doors were closed. Science thinks they've really come up with something today in quantum physics, where they call it quantum tunneling, where they have spent time shooting little particles at a solid piece of metal. And they shoot these particles under really high speeds at this solid object. And every once in a while, they are so excited because every once in a while, one of those particles will appear on the other side. They call it quantum tunneling. And the reason they call it that is because that particle somehow found its way through the spaces between the particles of that solid object and made it through to the other side. Because everything, including you, is made up of particles and waves. If it wasn't for the laws of God, we would all just fall apart right now. But he upholds all things by the word of his power. Amen. The laws of this world are governed by the laws of God, and he declared it, and therefore it is. When he created, he made everything come together as a solid object of matter, but in the reality, we're just particles and waves. I know that freaks people out. Did you know that pew you're sitting on has spaces around the particles of that wood? It's actually not solid. If it wasn't for the laws of God, it would fall apart and you would fall on the floor in a big lump. Because your body would fall apart. But when he commanded things to be, they became. And until he changes his mind, they will be. Amen. The mountains are held together because he commanded the rocks to be rock. He commanded the trees to be trees. He commanded the dirt to be dirt. All are just particles and sound waves, and he is Lord over all of it. So science thinks they have discovered something amazing. They got a particle to make it through a solid piece of metal. One particle. And they're all excited. Jesus is standing outside of the room where the disciples are at. The doors are closed. And all of a sudden, he quantum tunneled right through the wall. His whole body. I'm talking about a glorified body. The body that was beaten and bruised for us. A mind and a soul that was natural. And yet was raised from the dead incarnate. And then he ascended up into heaven. And I want you to just grab hold of this today. This is what gives us hope. That glorified body, that human body that was transformed by the power of God into a glorified body, and that human mind that Jesus had to battle with, just like we have to battle with. In the Garden of Gethsemane, the human part of his mind was saying, I don't want to go through this. But his spirit was saying, whatever you want, Father, I'm willing. He battled with it. There's times he would get mad. He went in the temple and he made himself away. He was premeditated. He made himself a whip standing outside. Can you see him just calmly making this whip? And then he walks into the temple and starts beating thieves and kicking over tables. Oh, you wouldn't have made it long in Jesus' church. Amen. We get upset if somebody just doesn't look at us quite right. Jesus would have kicked over your table. He might have hit you with a whip and said, get out of here. Amen. Y'all feel blessed today. Amen. Come on, somebody. Oh, boy. I'm challenging some stuff now. Oh, we think God did us wrong because he didn't do something for us. And so we just get all upset at him. You ought to be thankful that he cared enough to save you. He cares enough to redeem you. Hallelujah. And if you don't get another thing, God doesn't answer another prayer on this earth. You should be thankful because you are still his child and he's got you. Amen. As long as you're faithful, he's got you. But on that day that Jesus rose from the dead, all that was carnal became supernatural. We call it supernatural, above nature. Above natural. Everything became supernatural. But I want you to get a picture. This is the picture I want you to get. Jesus rose when he led the disciples out. He told them what to do, gave them commission. We still carry that commission today. He commissioned them. And then he began to rise from this earth. Hallelujah. He began to rise. But I gotta help, you gotta grab hold of this. It wasn't just a spirit that was rising. It was a human body that had been transformed. It was a human mind that had been transformed. Was rising from the earth to sit at the right hand of Father God. There is a body just like yours sitting at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you, for your pains, for your weariness, for your tiredness. There is a human mind that has been transformed, a victorious human mind sitting at the right hand of Father God that has been changed, been victorious. He won every battle. He conquered every sin. He conquered depression. He conquered anxiety. He conquered betrayal. He conquered all the things that we fight today. It was conquered. He did it without sin. And now he's seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and for me. And we can identify with him. And he identifies with us because he's been here. Hallelujah. Have you ever been trying to help somebody and they say, well, you don't understand. And you look at them and say, well, actually I do. I've been where you're at. Amen. That's what when we go to God and we say, you don't understand. Jesus says, I do. I do. I understand what you're going through. I understand what's happened in your life. I understand your discouragements. I understand your disappointments. I understand. I understand why some days you wonder what life is about. Because I've been there. But the Bible says he conquered. He overcame. Ephesians says, what is it to say that he ascended, but first he descended? And then it says he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Hallelujah. Praise God, he has poured out everything he has. He got back to heaven, and now we're heading as a as a church body. We are heading to the next great celebration 50 days from now, and that's the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. They went back and began to seek him, and he said, go and tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued, clothed, covered with power from on high. And they went back and they tarried, and on the day of Pentecost, all of a sudden, there was a supernatural happening took place, and that which Jesus bought and paid for on the cross and ascended into heaven, that glorified body, that glorified mind, descended back down and has been given to us to help us and give us strength and give us power today. As Brother Colin said, the stone's been rolled away, and many are still tethered to the tomb. We don't need to hang around the tomb. Amen. You know, Christianity has a hard time. The cross is where Jesus died. But we can't just hang around the cross. The cross is where we receive salvation, but there's a time that you have to get up and start walking in what's been paid for. And then we go to the tomb. And how many of the church in America is sitting at the tomb waiting for God to do something? Oh, God, do something. Don't you know we're waiting? We're sitting here in the tomb waiting for you to show up and do something. And Jesus is saying, well, get out of that dark tomb. The stone been rolled away. Cut the tethers, cut the ties, and get out into the upper room, because I've already poured out my spirit. We are not tethered and tied unless we just lack understanding in what's been done for us. And that's a large part of our country today. Did you know that if every church in America was filled to capacity today, we still got room in here. We're not filled to capacity. Amen. If I was to take this church over to Africa, if you measure it, we can get about 225 Americans in here. If I took this room over to Africa, I could get 400 Africans in here. Because they're not fighting over personal space. I've been in 15 passenger vans where there was 35 in a 15 passenger van, and we had instruments sitting on top of us, holding instruments, and people were piled on top of us. We've been in vans where there was Africans laying down across us. They don't know personal space there. It's like, excuse me. Oh, it ain't that. How you doing? But if every church in America today was filled to capacity, it wouldn't even be 10% of the population of the United States. We say, oh, there's too many churches in America. There's not enough. Amen. We got a few mega churches, and we think, wow, man, they got 20,000 people, and yet they live in a city of millions. Brother David in New York City, what was his last name? David Wilkerson, thank you. Brother David Wilkerson had a church, I think he had about 10,000, and somebody was saying, wow, Brother Wilkerson, you've got such a big church. You have 10,000. He said, excuse me. There's 50,000 people live on this block. I'm only reaching 10% of my block. Jesus paid the price for us to be set free. And yet in America, the actual number of church attendance, those who are actually worshiping Jesus, is only about 5%. And we wonder why we're losing our Christian heritage and values. We are now the minority. We're primed for a move of God. We are set for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit because we're in an impossible situation. And anytime you get in an impossible situation, it seems like God gets excited because that's where he does his best work, is in impossible situations. And we are in an impossible situation here in America. We have passed the point of no return if you look at it in the natural. It's overwhelming. You think, how can we do this? How, you know, what are we going to do? It's beyond our control. It's out of our hands. And yet we come into a place like this today and begin to declare that Jesus is the life, the hope, and the resurrection. And that is our answer. Amen. That is our answer. Because God cannot suddenly change the circumstances. Those who were unconcerned about God 5 minutes ago can suddenly come under the heavy presence of an almighty God and begin to cry out. I've been saying for quite some time, if we can believe for it, if we can pray for it, if we can declare it, if we can receive it, there will be people being saved so fast that we won't even be able to get them to a church. We'll have to baptize them in swimming pools in the neighborhoods. We won't have time. We'll be having outdoor meetings and they won't be able to shut us down because there's too many people showing up. You can't shut God down. Hallelujah. Smith Wigglesworth went into a city. He started going to churches. He got kicked out of every church in the city. But instead of quitting, he'd just go out on the street and minister to people. Tell them about Jesus. Heal the sick. Cast out devils. Oh, we think we're so hindered today. The only thing hindering us is the fact that we don't believe. Well, if I just had this, if I just had that, and God's up there saying, boy, if I could just get you to do something. Amen. Smith Wigglesworth finally ended up outside of town in a field. I forget how many, well, I think it was like 20,000 or something like that. People ended up out in that field glorifying God, receiving God. Why? Because it doesn't matter what society is doing. When the holy hand of God begins to move on an area, they begin to call out to God. Why? Because it's home. It's home. It's where we originated from. When people begin to feel the presence of God, it's where we originated from. There is a cry inside of every heart for the presence of Almighty God. There's a pulling inside of every person to be in the arms of God, to be in the family of God, to be in the presence of God, because that's what we were birthed from. That's what we were created from. It's what we descended from. And when we feel the presence of God, it's a call saying, come home, come home. And when people feel that, they can't help but come home. Brother Casey is telling me about a guy. He met at a gas station the other day and just struck up conversation with him. Next thing you know, he's sitting in Brother Casey's vehicle and he's sharing the gospel with him, telling him about what Jesus did. He didn't know anything about it. He really had no understanding. And he shared the gospel with him. Finally, the young man said, "Well, what do I need to do?" Where have I heard that before? Where have I heard that before? Seemed like it was an Ethiopian eunuch that was trying to understand life, trying to understand the scripture. And Philip run up and said, "You understand what you're reading?" He said, "How can I?" And Philip jumped in the coach with him and began to share the gospel with him. And finally the man said, "Well, here's water." And that Ethiopian eunuch went back and transformed Ethiopia. We serve a risen Savior. There's an old song we used to sing. I'm old, so I know a lot of old songs. Some of y'all never heard this before. It says, "Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph o'er his foe. He arose the victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose." Hallelujah. We got something to shout and celebrate about today because Jesus, stand with me if you would, Jesus rose from the dead, and he's alive today. Hallelujah. People need to know. There are so many people out there that do not know. They do not know. We have our church conferences. We have our church meetings. And the majority of the population of the world knows nothing about it. Has nothing. Feels nothing. Sees nothing. I watched a guy that did an experiment, and he went out on the streets. And he went out on the streets stopping people, offering him $20 if they could quote one scripture from the Bible. At the end of that time, he still had his $20. He couldn't find one person in that city that could quote a scripture out of the Bible. Those are the people that are prime for salvation, because they're not hardened to it. The world is raping them and tearing them apart, taking hope away from them, destroying their identity, destroying everything about them, and they have no hope. They are prime candidates for salvation. They're the ones that'll come running. I saw a meeting, I believe it was in Nicaragua. Brother Nathan Morris holding meetings in Nicaragua, and when he gave the altar call, people came running as fast as they could run out of the stands to receive Jesus. Why? Because they needed some hope. And we've got it. You know, all day today, God's been pulling at hearts, crying out to people. And some of you, during the worship and during the ministry time, were touched by the power of God. Some of you felt the pull of God, but you were hardened. You become hardened to the gospel because of your opinions. And yet, when you stand before God, your opinion doesn't matter. Your arguments don't matter. Jesus paid a debt for you. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. But now I sing a brand new song. Christ Jesus paid a debt he did not owe. Father, Lord, we stand before you today with no excuses, with no blame, no one to blame, because it's all empty. And Father, we stand before you today saying, we need you. We need you, Father. I want you to be brave today. You're in church. I mean, goodness, we need to be this brave out on the streets. You're in a safe place today. I want you to be brave enough to turn to the people around you and say, do you need to pray? Do you need to ask Jesus to come into your life? Be brave today. And if they say yes, pray with them. If they say no, just bless them. But I want you to ask somebody around you. The reason I could give an altar call and have people come forward, but it's time for the body of Christ to start rising up and becoming vocal.
Awesome. Awesome, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Some of y'all saying, okay, which is the fastest route out of here before they ask me? It ain't gonna work. Ain't gonna work. Praise God. Amen. Father, we ask right now that your presence and glory would come upon us in Jesus' name. And Father, I thank you for your power. Turn to somebody. Begin to ask people around you right now, do you know Jesus? Do you need to accept him as your Lord and Savior? Hallelujah. Father, we ask today. We ask today, Lord. Lord, we pray for your presence and your power. Holy God, we pray for your presence and power, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
This is no
healing. Anything need prayer for, pray for. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
This is pure love. Oh, this is holy fire. Oh, this is the real thing, the real thing. It's your right. This is the